Well, good day to everybody. This is Pastor Tim Karskatten from Christian Center Shreveport, starting another week on our daily podcast on the Podbean app and our Apple Podcast app. Thanks for joining us. This week, special guest, Natasha Gerbich from Aerial Gate, South Africa, and we're talking about the pattern for the house of prayer. Hello again, everybody. Glad you're back again. This is our third day here on our podcast with Apostle Natasha Gerbich from Aerial Gate, South Africa. This is very interesting. Yesterday, as we were talking, we were really talking about some things that's going to radically change the way we look at prayer and worship in the house of God. And I hope you're listening. Just take it in, let it digest. We're talking about the priesthood and how in the New Testament, when Peter tells us we're a royal priesthood, we're a holy nation, we're not trying to go back to Old Testament patterns as far as the law, but we are introducing it as a model, a type and shadow into the New Testament where now we're made alive in Christ. So yesterday you talked about a little bit about the mountain and Zion and us as priests coming before the Lord. So if you will, Natasha, pick us up right there and let's move into the next level of how we keep moving into this place.
Okay, so that was Isaiah 2. And the next scripture that we need to look at is Micah 4, which is saying a similar thing, but it'll add some more shadow and types. But in the last days, this is Micah 4, verse 1, it will come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. So please note that the Lord is expecting us to establish. Now, if we understand the word establish, we are here to build it. Okay. So we are building something. Up to now, we've been building our own ministries, but God is saying, where's my house? Which is Isaiah 66. Okay. And people will flow to it. Okay. So that's similar to what we saw in Isaiah 2. Now it says something interesting. In Micah 4:2, it says, and many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. Yeah, we've got that again. God is literally going to teach us. So he gave us the Holy Spirit as a teacher to teach us of his ways so we can walk in his paths. Because why are we doing that? So that the law will move out of Zion.
The law is legislation.
The law is legislation. The law is judicial decrees according to the jurisdiction God has given. Jurisdiction means I have juris to diction. Juris is law. Diction means I can speak or dictate, literally. Now, doesn't mean everybody has that. And or that if they have it, it is in a specific area. It's not in every area.
But can everybody have it?
Everybody can have what they qualify for if God has written it.
So it's destiny driven.
It's destiny driven, and it's because it's God's pleasure.
I see.
And the word of the Lord, it says, from Jerusalem. So the word of the Lord here is prophetic decrees, explanations, utterances, and all of that. So that comes out of Jerusalem.
Well, how do we answer the question then of critics who would say, well, I'm a royal priesthood, I have as much access as anybody else, the Bible tells me I come
well,
in front of grace.
Immediately you have a problem because you are already saying everybody's equal, which is a problem if you go back to the Old Testament and you see Aaron and Miriam doing that to Moses, and you see Korah doing that to Moses, and you see the sons of Aaron also deciding they are going to do what their father did, and they're going to bring their incense their way, and God answers them very nicely and barbecues them.
So we're talking about 1 Corinthians 12, where there's different parts of the body.
There's different parts of the body, and there is an ear, and there is a finger, and there is a toe, and God said it very clearly in that manner, which is 101, there is a difference.
Right.
You are part of the body, but God decided which part.
Okay.
If you've got an issue with that, we'll just throw your Bible out.
Well, but I think you have issue with the sovereignty of God.
You have issues with all kinds of stuff. Right. You're a rebel. You don't understand leadership. You don't understand how armies function because we're about to go to war. You don't understand how judiciary functions because not everybody's the judge, not everybody's the jury, not everybody's the bailiff. You can't be everybody.
Yeah, it takes everybody. to win a battle.
It takes a village to bring up a child. That's right.
So it's, please listen to me as a listener. Don't feel like if you're not on the front lines, you know, making those declarations, that you're not still a priesthood. You are. You just have a different role in the priesthood. Would you say that's
absolutely
accurate?
Okay. And I mean, if you look at the pattern which we are looking at, you grow up in the Levitical order. Some people are carrying the planks. Some people are carrying the curtains. Some people carry the Holy of Holies stuff. Some people never get to the Holy of Holies. Did they moan about it? No, they did their job.
Yeah.
You know, because the glory of God is going to come because I put the rope down.
Yeah, the pay is the same as the way we look at it.
Yeah.
It's remember the servant that came before the Lord, and you know, and he told him, I'll pay you this much. And at the end of the day, a guy comes later, pays the same. The guy's upset. Well, I worked longer. And he said, look, didn't I give you what I told you I'd give you? So it's a promise,
see,
no matter what.
At the end of the day, if we all worked for the circus, the issue is the show must go on. So at the end of the day, we all celebrate because we had a great show. So God is about to have a show with principalities and powers. He's about to have a showdown. So if you're going to keep obsessing about which part of which part, then you already have a major problem. It's demonic. You need deliverance. You better get it fast. Because when we really go for the showdown, if you keep thinking like that, you will be taken out.
And that's when they do become needless casualties of war.
Yeah,
they don't need
exactly.
to die that way.
No.
But because they felt they wanted to be in the front lines battling, you know, you don't, but you're not trained to be up there.
Well, then, I mean, if everybody feels like they need to be eaten by a lion, we can take them to the Kruger National Park, you know, and they can have the same reward as the guys who died in Nero's Colosseum. I mean, that's how ridiculous.
So this passage goes on to say there, I know in verse 3,
yes,
it talks about, and he will judge between many peoples and render decisions for mighty distant nations.
And he says, rebuke strong nations in my version. But the whole issue here is if you look at it in Micah 4:5, for all people will walk everyone in the name of his God. So what are we dealing with here? When we walk in the name of our God, what are we doing? We are judging.
Mm.
We are judging with our lifestyle because we are priests walking in the name of our God.
With our lives.
With our lives.
Please explain that.
Daily. So every day my life is a living sacrifice because it's the pattern. So come back to the tabernacle. What's the first thing the priest does is there has to be a lamb sacrifice morning and evening, which obviously is Jesus, the lamb. And why do we have to talk about it? Because it's been fulfilled. Because Romans 12 verse 1 understands this continues. And it says, what does it say? I'm asking you, how does it say it nicely? Because I can't.
Well, I'll let you look for that. I think of a story I remember where Smith Wigglesworth was, somebody said this, they were there. He got on a train and sat down, and the person across from him looks at him and just says, why am I convicted of sin? I'm convicted of sin by you just sitting here.
Exactly.
So he had a relationship with the Lord at such a level.
Exactly. And I don't know if you ever heard that story where he ends up praying in New Zealand and people couldn't stand in the room.
Mm.
And they were like 20 ministers and they all had to run out the room because the glory of God increased to such a level, the light went on to such a level that these people crawled out the room. They couldn't stand it because you can say you equal, but are you really equal in capacity? And you see, there's another thing of where two or more are gathered in my name or three. So, you know, two or three of us is enough. We are the church, really. The question is, can you really put 1,000 to flight or 10,000 by yourself? Because do you have that capacity, or are you only putting one demon to flight, or you can't even manage that? So then two or three people who just got saved or whatever, who have never been tried or tested, we don't know what they actually can hold.
Well, we'd
or
never
not
throw
hold.
A soldier in the army after two or three days
of
training.
And but to tell people we're all the same, okay. You know, you know everything about war. Goodbye, off you go. And you haven't even trained them in instruments. I mean, any soldier will tell you that's ridiculous. Any soldier will tell you, I won't go with this guy to war because he's potty in the head. He's not even thinking straight. He doesn't even know how to fire a gun. I don't want to be with him in the trenches. Right, right. We know all of that.
Yeah.
So it's the same story spiritually.
So when let's say we're in a corporate meeting and the Lord has given us directives to go after a certain issue, everybody has a role.
Exactly.
And in a corporate setting, you know, maybe there's a leader, yes, there should be, but there are others in the background that are just as important, but they just have different roles.
Well, you know, I think, again, if we are fighting an enemy to hold that enemy back, do I care if I'm giving you water because you're the guy that's got to keep your eye on the rifle who's got, and you've got Hitler, let's say you're going to shoot Hitler, and I've got to make you comfortable to take that shot, then everybody and everything needs to help you get to make
right,
that shot.
That's good
because that if we kill Hitler, the war ends, for example, and all of us, all 20 of us are happy, even if it's just one of us taking the shot.
Yeah, I really feel like there's a lot of anointing on this, what you're saying, because I've seen you do this in meetings where, so we're dealing with like a generational issue or something in a bloodline, you'll bring up somebody from that bloodline because they carry a different authority than you would, even, you know, you're not in that bloodline. So.
Yes.
So, but you would still help direct it, but still they would have the authority.
Well, to me, when I do that, the fact that that person can stand in that bloodline for that issue then gives us legal jurisdiction. If they are not there, then I will have to take that place.
Right.
And if I have not ever repented for those sins, I will have to do that, which takes time. If I bring in, say you're Chinese, I bring you in, you've already done Chinese repentance for years and centuries of killing people or whatever. So now I bring you in and I say, now do this decree and stand before the Lord and repent for this issue.
Wow.
It is you already repenting on history.
Okay, wow. Now you're starting to understand how important it is, every person in the body of Christ, and that how we're placed there properly according to what God wrote about us. So, okay, join us again tomorrow. We're going to pick up right here, pick up on this very important topic. Bless you. Have a good day. See ya.